I do want to thank everyone for allowing me to come and be here with you this evening. As Brother Tim just mentioned, my topic is the Great I Am. When I first saw this and thought about this, is how do you get 40-45 minutes into of two words that are only made up of three letters, but really, 45 minutes, 45 years, we could not fully expose what the Great I Am means to us. Think about it. How much is there of all of the speakers that will be heard in this lecture of the different portions of I Am something? This is the I Am. It's because Jesus is God. He is deity. Now this is has confounded a lot of people in the world. A lot of so-called religious people who claim that Jesus is not deity, that he is not God, but he is. And he made reference to himself that way. The theme for the 2012 Back to the Bible lectures is fitly titled Jesus Christ, What He Called Himself. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this, and especially with this topic. Each description used by our Lord and Savior begins with some sort of I am. We must each consider whether we can live without water, or whether we can live without bread, or the protection, or the direction, or the light. All of these things, or any other distinction of Christ, we can think about that. Could we live without those? This includes also the distinction that Jesus is God, which comes from I am. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at it from the Old Testament and the New Testament and in eternity and in our existence. The I Am passage shows individually and collectively our need for Jesus concerning our very existence. It's not humanly possible to fully grasp what it means to be deity. One would have to be deity to be able to fully grasp that. Yet deity does have full comprehension of everything. With that understanding, we can begin considering what Jesus meant in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly. Now, when we see that most assuredly, that gets everything out of the way. We can know that this is truth. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. What an interesting statement. What an interesting statement for him to say. But Jesus did not say in this verse that he was the living water or that he was the bread of life. He simply but profoundly stated, I am. He proclaimed his deity boldly by making this statement. He proclaimed his deity boldly. I am. Let's look at I am in the Old Testament so we can have a little better understanding of I am, of him making that statement here in the book of John. Moses learned this fact that God, this I am, he learned of that. See, God is not subject to man. Contrary to popular belief, God is not subject to man. In Exodus 3, verse 13, we read, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And in a sense, Moses asked God to define himself. Deity cannot be defined fully in human terms. Yahweh was God's sufficient response. A simple implication to the impossibility of fully defining God. The Israelites believed that knowing the name of a certain entity would give a certain power over that entity. Pagan gods were called upon by name in order to supposedly invoke their power or somehow tie them into that. Our Creator can neither be fully defined nor can he be enslaved by a name. He is no idol to be called upon at our every whim. He cares for our every need providentially because He is our Creator. Think about this, these pagan gods that they would give names to. They would have different names for the different gods. But think about how ridiculous that would be. That they could sit there and have a piece of wood and maybe take a piece of a tree and cut it in half because they wanted this idol to be a certain size. So they cut this log and they turn it around and they sit down on part of the log. And then they take the rest of this log and they start cutting away. And the pieces that are cut off, they put in the fire to warm themselves while they're carving this idol. And then when they get this nice shaped piece of wood, they decide, this is a god. This is something that we can worship. Can you see how ridiculous that would be? They're sitting on a piece of wood that came from that idol. They've burned pieces that came from while they were whittling away at this. God is not an idol. He is not something that we can just carve up when we want to. He cares for our every need providentially. God did respond to Moses' question. In verse 14 of Exodus 3, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Wow. I am. God, our Creator. The Hebrew term Ayah, Asher Ayah is I am who I am or I am what I am. And in the third person, this is Yahweh. This term does not define God. It does, however, call attention to His love and care for His people. In delivering them from bondage in Egypt, as they understand the word Yahweh, I am who I am. I am what I am. And this is he delivered them out of bondage. He cared for them as they were in the wilderness. The term also that you may have heard also is Elohim. Elohim is used in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 as describes our Creator. It implies power and strength. It is a plural term to describe one God. In Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Elohim is the word that is used there. It was talking of our triune God, the Father, at the time the Word and the Holy Spirit. The term Yahweh again implies a closeness. In Genesis 2, verse 7, we see the word again, and the Lord, Yahweh, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We can see this closeness from this term. Consider the inspired writings of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor praise to carved images. I am does not share his name with a worthless piece of wood or metal. I am is omniscient, all-knowing. I am is omnipresent, all-present. I am is omnipotent, all-powerful. Things that none of these carved images could ever be. I am is God's name, and there is glory in that name. God will not share his glory, even the glory of his name, with any other. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as we go through this lesson. God is timeless and God is limitless. I am cannot be limited to a single event. He can't be defined by an event. The experiences of a single nation could not encompass God. The occurrences of a single era could not envelop God. You know, as an example, when we hear the word, the name George Washington, you know, he's tied to that era, the beginning of this nation. And he's just encompassed with that. I am. It cannot be confined by a time or a person or an event or even a nation. I am that I am was understood in Hebrew to be the third person singular masculine. This is a little English class going on. Third person singular masculine of the imperfect tense of the verb to be. Using the causative stem of the verb in the third person, we remember I, you, and he. So in the third person singular would be translated, he causes to be. He causes to be. His being is active. His being is not dormant, such as idols. He is, therefore, he is the source of causation. We exist because he is. Consider again, I am, the term I am in creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This verse states the fact that God created. I am created. I am will not share his name with any other. Now, in John 1, verses 1 through 3, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John was speaking of Jesus, the Son of God. Moses spoke of Elohim, the plural form of a single God. Once again, we see the unity now here of the Father and the Son. Jesus is God. Jesus is deity. Again, contrary to popular belief, he is God. He is deity. So we see this tie from the Old Testament. Now, moving into the New Testament, this term, I am. Numerous attributes of deity are repeated in the New Testament. They are not secondary thoughts. They're not just nice assumptions. They are ascribed to Christ as is applicable to God and God alone. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was I am. This is a direct tie to the I am of the Old Testament that we just looked at. Jesus is God. Jesus is deity. Robert Milligan once wrote, was he a mere man having no existence prior to his conception by the Virgin Mary? Or did he exist in any other state or conscious personality previous to that time? If so, to what rank or order of beings did he belong? Was he a creature of some angelic or super angelic order? Or was he an uncreated aeon or emanation from the deity? Or was he God himself, one with the Father in essence and endowed with all the attributes of divinity, but nevertheless having his own separate and distinct personality? Jesus described himself as absolute deity. Three times in John chapter 8, he used the term, I am, as absolute. In John 8, verse 24, we read, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. In verse 28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. These two verses were translated with the pronoun he added. You may have in your Bible, as I do mine, that it actually said in verse 24, "For if you do not believe that I am he," that's not in the original text. And in verse 28, "You will know that I am he." The word he is not in the original text. But verse 58 remains unaltered with the same ego I me. That is the Greek term I am. Jesus affirmed his deity. The question is, do we believe God's word or not? Our salvation rests on it. Whether we believe or not does not change the fact, though. The world may want you to believe that, well, if you don't believe in God, then he's just going to cease to exist. Well, that would be wrong. Isaiah wrote, "I am is God's name, and there is glory in that name." Isaiah 42, verse 8. God will not share his glory, even the glory of his name, with any other. Jesus is not any other. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. This is a logical statement. God is I am. God shares his name with no other. Jesus is I am. Precisely stated syllogism that demand the conclusion that Jesus is one with God. We've looked at I am in the Old Testament. We've looked at I am in the New Testament. Now let's consider I am in eternity. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am depicts a continuous entity. David Lipscomb wrote, "Jesus existed long before Abraham did, and still exists after Abraham has died and passed away. Hence, he speaks of himself as existing at the present. So before Abraham was, I am." Jesus does not merely assert that he was before Abraham, but before Abraham was, I am. He identifies himself with the I am of the Old Testament. Eternity is without a beginning and without an end. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." That may be hard for us to grasp. If I may be so bold, think of it this way. To our government, a dollar is like $1,000,000, and $1,000,000 is like a dollar. Just look at the deficit. That may help us to understand how eternity relates. Deity is timeless. We have a beginning. Again, contrary to popular belief, which is at conception, we have a beginning at conception as set in place by God. Our desire is to join eternity in heaven with our Creator. If it's not, it should be. True, every person who has ever lived will join in eternity. However, only those redeemed will join in eternity in heaven. All others will join eternity in hell. God has given us the choice individually. Believing eternity flows in both directions. Consider John 1:1 again. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word was already existent in the beginning. What beginning? The beginning of time. Time is really a sort of a byproduct of creation itself. Time as we know it, and spend billions of dollars trying to save it, keep it, and use it, is sort of a byproduct of creation. God planned it and administered it, but he did so while creating. God is truly awesome. Holy and awesome is his name. I am, was, already. John 17, verse 5. We read, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." See, in the beginning, the Word already was. In verse 24 of John 17, he says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world." How could God love him before the foundation of the world if he didn't exist? Interesting is the fact that he loved each of us before the foundation of the world also. We were not an afterthought. That should give great comfort to those who believe and great fear to those who do not. If it doesn't now, it will. Continuing with the timeline in the Gospel of John, in John 1 verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We have eyewitness evidence of "I am in the flesh." Many wrote of Jesus in addition to John. This is irrefutable evidence. Even unbelievers give in to the overwhelming evidence that deity became flesh. Will Durant, a great historian, though unbeliever, wrote of Jesus' existence. He wrote, "The denial of that existence seems never to have occurred even to the bitterest Gentile or Jewish opponents of nascent Christianity." This is an unbeliever. Can't deny the existence of Christ. Isaiah 9 verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus was prophesied of in Micah 5 verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." This verse shows that he is deity as the second person of God. Micah spoke of the days of eternity, no beginning and no end. Jesus is, in no sense of the matter, a creature of time, as was Abraham. So he says in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was I am." "I am" is significant to one who was, is, and shall ever be. "I am" in eternity did not end while he dwelt among us. Luke recorded in Acts 1 verses 9 through 11. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.' I am," continues on, "in eternity, undefeated and undefiled." It is in this fact that our hope lies. "I am" did not just leave us here, but continues to fill God's scheme of redemption. In John 14, verses 2 and 3, we read, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He paused his timelessness, as we've been looking at here. He paused his timelessness for a brief period and defeated death and continued his eternality. In so doing, he made our eternality possible in heaven with him. He will come again. He will come again. Not as a do-over, as some falsely believe, but to complete their plan, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 23 says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put to death. He has eternally succeeded through his part in creation. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. We were not only created through him, but we were created for him. I am in eternity. Now let's consider I am in our existence. Do you realize that we would not exist if not for I am? Many people don't believe that. Many people believe that we just kind of appeared here out of some ooze or some bang or some nonsense that somebody has come up with. But that's not the case. Colossians 1 verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. We owe our very existence to him. Sadly, few recognize this fact, but they will. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every name should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. This is an admonition that every knee should bow to I am. We see the choices that God gives each person. He not only gives us the choice, but also the direction for success. He even tells us what will happen in the end. We don't have to guess. Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee should bow by choice. Every knee shall bow in that day. Because of pride, many decide they do not need I am. Their success is due to their own efforts. They're good at what they do. They don't need anything else. They don't need God. Their thinking, or lack of it, is futile. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. He said all things are from God and through Christ. That does not leave anything for anyone else. All means all, whether we like to think of it that way or not. All means all. Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. The Hebrews writer, by inspiration, made another statement in Hebrews 1 verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I am upholds all things. Once again, leaving nothing being upheld by someone or something else. Since he upholds all things through his constant power of his word, if he ceased, so would we. I Am not only created his universe, he maintains it and supplies it. He also cleanses it. First, he had by himself purged our sins. So we can look at that two different ways, and we're going to. First, it was him alone, by himself, that he accomplished this. It was not from our efforts, for we were the reason that he did it. Neither Joseph Smith, John Calvin, Charles Taze Russell, Mary Baker Eddy, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, nor any other created being could purge our sins. He did it by himself. Second, he had by himself purged our sins. It was by means of himself that our sins were purged. It was himself that was sacrificed on our behalf. We've got to get this fact. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We had separated ourselves from him, yet he still loved us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's love. God so loved the world that he created, yet the world that turned back on him. He gave his only begotten Son. You see, I Am did not increase by creating us. We added nothing to I Am by him creating us. I Am didn't decrease by creating us. He didn't lose anything by creating us. I Am is deity. He is deity and has all power. It was because of his love that Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, Philippians 2 verse 7. He was not required to, except to do the will of the Father. With the established fact that I Am of the Old Testament, the I Am of the New Testament, the I Am in eternity, the I Am of our very existence, is deity, is God. We should be more eager to do his will. If we have an understanding of that, we should be more eager to do his will. We were created for him, by him, and for him. Brethren, Peter gave inspired instructions when he wrote in 2 Peter 1:10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble." If you do these things, what? Be more diligent to make your call and election sure. To serve I Am. All that we know and see was created through Christ for his will, we would do well to obey his word. I Am said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I Am is the way. I Am is the only way. Do you believe I Am? Your words of acceptance and agreement are a mere portion of what is required by his will. As Christians, we must be Christ-like. John 8, verse 12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." If asked if you are following Christ the way that he commands you, listen up. If asked if you are following Christ the way that he commands you, can you answer, I am? Can you answer, I am? That's something that we each have to ask ourselves. If there's anyone here this evening who has not come to that realization that Jesus is God, Jesus is the Son of God who came and hung on the cross for our sins, to purge our sins by himself. If you've come to that realization now after hearing the word, it's time to react. It's time to confess Jesus as the Son of God and repent of the sins that separate you from God and be immersed in the waters of baptism, being buried with him, coming in contact with that precious blood that cleanses us, that purges our sins, that redeems us back to the Father. And you have that opportunity. You have that opportunity now, and you have that opportunity until he returns. And again, he is coming back, and don't let anyone else tell you differently. He is coming back. We don't know when. We may not have another breath of life, and he could come back at any time, and I pray that he comes back soon. But you have that opportunity. You need to take advantage of it. If there's anyone here this evening who has not been Christ-like, if asked, am I following Christ the way that he commands? I can't say I am. Then repent and turn away from that so that you can say, I am following Christ. If there's anyone here that needs to, we have a song of invitation. We do have a song of invitation. If there's anyone that needs to respond, please come as together we stand and sing.